Hare Krishna. It's nice to be back in Telugintan. See some familiar faces here, still here, doing devotional service. I think I was here in 2003, wasn't it? Do you remember? Something like that. Yeah, I had fond memories of Telugintan. So we're going to speak now on the Bhagavad Gita. What's verse is it again? 10:14. Ke Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 10, the opulence of the absolute, text number 14. Sarvame tapatam manye yanmam vadasi keshava nahite bhagavan vyaktim vidur devana dhanavaha. Sarvame tapatam manye yanmam vadasi keshava nahite bhagavan vyaktim vidur devana dhanavaha. Sarvam, all, etat, this, ritam, truth, manye, I accept, yat, which, mam, unto me, vadasi, you tell, keshava, O Krishna, na, never, he, certainly, te, your Bhagavan, O Personality of Godhead, Vyaktim, revelation, Vidu, can know, Deva, the demigods, Na, nor, Dhanava, the demons. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. O Krishna, I totally accept as truth all that you have told me. Neither the demigods nor the demons, O Lord, can understand your personality. Please repeat. O Krishna,
O Krishna,
I totally accept
as truth
all that you have told me.
All that you have told me.
Neither the demigods,
nor the demons,
O Lord, can understand your personality. Purport. Arjuna herein confirms that persons of faithless and demoniac nature cannot understand Krishna. He is not known even by the demigods. So what to speak of the so-called scholars of this modern world? By the grace of the Supreme Lord, Arjuna has understood that the supreme truth is Krishna and that he is the perfect one. One should therefore follow the path of Arjuna. He received the authority of Bhagavad Gita, as described in the fourth chapter, the Parampara system of the civic succession for the understanding of Bhagavad Gita was lost. And therefore, Krishna re-established that civic succession with Arjuna because he considered Arjuna his intimate friend and a great devotee. Therefore, as stated in our introduction to Gita Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita should be understood in the Parampara system. When the Parampara system was lost, Arjuna was selected to rejuvenate it. The acceptance by Arjuna of all that Krishna says should be emulated. Then we can understand the essence of Bhagavad Gita. And then only can we understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Jnana Timalandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshur Malitam Tena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah. mukham bhutva chalam angulam hai degrin yatipa taranam bande shigurum nilatarnam manchakapa tibhyascha kripa sindhu devacha patitanam bhavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namah jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhara srivasti gaur bhaktivinoda hare krishna hare krishna 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 hare 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 ram hare ram 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 How many people do not understand English here? Can you ask them? Only one person? Two. Who does not understand? Okay, five. Maybe you can go in the back in the corner. That would be better. Because otherwise it takes double the time. Or in the corner or something. Is that okay? Okay. So what we're understanding from this verse from Arjuna is that he has developed complete faith in Krishna. Or he has complete faith in Krishna. In the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, it appeared like he didn't have much faith. He was questioning, he was even challenging Krishna. Of course, that was kind of he was kind of like acting as a conditioned soul for our benefit, just to, so that the Bhagavad Gita can be spoken. But this is how we should also accept the words that are spoken by Krishna. Accept it as truth, totally. Whatever Krishna says is true. He's the absolute truth. He's not relative truth. It's not that sometimes he says something that's right and sometimes he makes a little mistake here and there. No, that's what we do. We have a tendency to make mistakes, to cheat, to be an illusion, and imperfect senses. This is the conditioned soul, not Krishna. Krishna is perfect. Whatever he says is perfect. And therefore, although the Bhagavad Gita was spoken 5,000 years ago, to this day, it's being studied in universities all over the world. It's being translated practically all the languages of the world. Big professors are trying to understand the deep meaning of the Bhagavad Gita. So this is God. When he speaks, thousands and thousands of years later, people are benefiting. And in another 50, 100,000 years, still people are going to be reading the Bhagavad Gita and benefiting, and trying to understand the deep meaning of the Bhagavad Gita. So, Prabhupada mentions here in the first sentence that people who are faithless and who are of demoniac nature, they can't understand the words of Krishna. So what we're trying to do in this Krishna consciousness movement is we're trying to develop faith in the words of Krishna. It's because we don't have complete faith in the words of Krishna, in Krishna in general, that we don't completely surrender. Before coming to Krishna consciousness, we had faith in the material nature. We had faith in sense gratification. We were all convinced by sense gratification, I'll be happy. We lost a lot of that faith. There's still a little bit of that faith there. We still think there's some pleasure there in material consciousness. So we're trying to become free of that. We're trying to become cleansed of that impure faith. We're trying to develop faith in Krishna, complete faith in Krishna. This is one of the big things that the atheists, they criticize people who are God conscious. Oh, it's just faith. It's just sentiment. It's just faith. But everybody has faith. Just like the students, they go to the university. They have faith. I go there, I study, I get a degree, I'll leave school, I'll make a lot of money. Right? That's faith. Before people get on a plane, they get on the plane with faith that the pilot is not drunk. He's got faith, they got faith. That the pilots are good pilots, you know, that they're educated, they know what they're doing. There's no doubt. Actually, sometimes pilots are drunk. It happens. I remember reading there was one of the stewards smelled the breath of one of the captains, you know, with the four bars, you know, and he smelled alcohol. And he told one of the officers, the police officers, to, you know, test this. And they tested him. The guy was totally drunk. Pilot just landed the plane. He was totally drunk. So it happened. Maybe the steward that caught him and the police officer that found out, they might have a little question now about the pilots in the future, because they found one that was drunk. So everybody has faith. So we're putting our faith in Krishna, the absolute truth. And the result of putting our faith in Krishna is that we become purified. We become happy. Ya shastra guru ushtuja vajate kama karta na sa sati mavapnoti na sukham na palam kati. That those who follow the instructions of Krishna, they achieve happiness, the ultimate goal of life, and satisfaction. Na sa sukhim pavatnoti na sukham na padam gatim. This is the result of following the teachings of Krishna. And if people follow their own mind, their own senses, then frustration. And this is why the main disease all around the world is stress. People are very stressed out. Because of taking the wrong direction, going the wrong direction. In the Krishna book, there's an example given of two villages. And in between these villages, there was a lot of going back and forth. So there was a path through the forest there. But for some reason, they stopped going back and forth. So eventually the path became covered. Eventually they couldn't even see the path anymore, completely grown over with weeds. So what we're doing, guys, we should go inside. So what we're doing now in this spiritual practice is we're creating a path between us and Krishna. Right? Now the more we hear and the more we chant about Krishna, the more this path opens up. We hear Bhagavad Gita, we associate with the devotees, we chant Hare Krishna. This path is getting longer and longer. Yeah. And eventually we'll reach Krishna. But if we lose, somehow if we become bewildered or offensive. Like here it said that the demoniac, they can't understand. Why? Because they're offensive. So we have to be very careful. If we want to stay on this path, this clear path back to Krishna, we have to be very strict in our devotional activities, and don't commit offenses. The nature of the conditioned soul is that we're envious. This is one of the main contaminations of the conditioned soul, and this is why we originally left Krishna. We're envious. We saw Krishna in the center, and we all thought, hey, I'd like to try that. I'd like to be in the center. And then we all blooped. One devotee said, Prabhupada, why do we call that blooped when someone leaves Krishna consciousness? He said, because that's the sound of the soul leaving the spiritual world. Bloop. We blooped. So now everybody is more or less, trying to be the center. Even there's a little stanza in Shakespeare. I'm paraphrasing, but he says that the whole world is a stage, and everybody is thinking that they're the main actor on the stage. Right? So we want to be the center. Envy. So many contaminations. Lust, greed. Kamadinam katina katida pavita dorni desa. Rupa Goswami, he says, for so long I've been the humble, menial servant of many bad masters. And what are those masters? Lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, madness. These are the bad masters. And I've been serving them for so long, but I get no mercy. Generally, if you serve someone, you get something, some mercy in back. You get some favorable mercy. But no mercy. I only get suffering. The result of serving these masters, I just get suffering in return. I've never been ashamed of serving them, nor have I wanted to give up serving them. But now, my dear Lord Krishna, you've given me transcendental intelligence. So I no longer want to serve these bad masters. Now I just want to serve you, the greatest master. I just want to serve your lotus feet. So this is a devotee. You want to give up these bad qualities and develop pure qualities. And the more we engage in devotional service, the more these divine qualities develop. In the Bhagavad Gita also there's that whole chapter, the divine and the demoniac natures. So it's that chapter is like a barometer where you can see where you're at. You have the divine qualities, alright, you're doing alright. Then you see some of those demoniac qualities, I gotta work on that one. So people now throughout the world, because of not taking seriously spiritual life, there's so many demoniac qualities people are developing, and even they're proud. They're proud of demoniac qualities. So the purpose of this Krishna consciousness movement is to try to bring people to the divine instructions of Krishna so that they can become divine. Krishna is the most pure. And we also, originally, we were pure. But that purity is still there. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajjikabhanoi Shravanadi Sudachitti Koriya Yudhoi. That this love of Krishna, it's there. It's dormant in the hearts of all living entities. Everybody is a devotee of Krishna. But now this love of Krishna, it's covered by these demoniac qualities. But by hearing and by chanting, these divine qualities come out again. Just like if you have a very valuable diamond. A very valuable diamond. And it's buried under some big mound of dirt. The value is still there. But it's covered by this huge mound of dirt. And when you remove that dirt, then you can see the beauty of the diamond. So this purity is there. It's covered. So now what we're doing is we're uncovering the pure soul. The main covering, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Kama Arinam Kasanova, Kama Esha Prodesha, Rajaguna Smurva. He says that Krishna says that it is lust only, Arjuna, which is the born of the mode of passion and transformed into ignorance, is the all-devouring sinful enemy of the world. So the soul is covered by this lust. Yeah. So it's just like if you have a piece of iron and you have a magnet. Now the iron is attracted to the magnet. Spontaneous attraction. Anuraga. Yeah. Spontaneous attraction. But if the iron gets some rust on it, if it gets a lot of rust on it, then there's no more attraction at all because it's covered by this rust. But if you scrape off that rust from the iron, eventually it'll be attracted again to the magnet. So we all have natural attraction for Krishna, but the soul is covered by this lust. So therefore there's no attraction. Some attraction. There's some of that rust is being scraped away, so there's a little attraction. That's why we're here. But eventually, as we keep chanting and hearing and associating, this rusty lust will be completely scraped off. And then, anuraga, then completed attraction to Krishna will be there. So this is the happiness of the soul. People now, they don't know what is real happiness. They think happiness is going to the movies or going to a restaurant or going dancing. But this is all just continuing their material existence. Real happiness is in devotional service. So many wonderful examples we hear devotees experiencing such happiness that their hairs are standing on end, tears are flowing from their eyes. Prabhupada himself, he would be giving lectures, or he would be chanting Jai Radha Madhava. He would go into complete ecstasy. Tears are flowing from his eyes, and devotees that were there experiencing it, they felt the whole room just become like Vaikuntha, you know, Goloka Vrindavan. You know, Prabhupada just transformed, just so much ecstasy. So this is the happiness that everybody's looking for, but they don't know it. Just like we didn't know. So fortunately we got some books. So now we know what is real happiness. And we're losing our faith in material life. And we're trying to gain our faith in Krishna. Prabhupada said, for every step you take towards Krishna, he's taking 10 towards you. So every serious step we take towards Krishna, our faith is increasing. And we're not only interested in our own happiness, our own faith, but we want to increase everybody's faith in Krishna. We want people to become happy. And that's why Prabhupada stressed so much this book distribution. The devotee wants to see everybody satisfied in Krishna consciousness. Of course, it's not going to happen. We're not going to see the whole world become Krishna conscious. But right now, throughout the world, there's about 1 million devotees who are taking Krishna consciousness very seriously. That's pretty good. Prabhupada started preaching pretty much in 1966. So how many years is that? 34, 44, 45 years. 45 years. And now there's about 1 million devotees around the world. So we want to increase. Because whenever someone becomes a devotee, Krishna's very happy. Krishna comes. Yada yada hi dharmasya. Whenever there's a predominant rise of religion and a decline in religious practice, I descend. He wants everybody to come back to him. Because he knows no one's going to be happy until they develop their relationship with me again. So the more we advance in Krishna consciousness, the more we please Krishna. the more we bring people to Krishna, to his lotus feet, the more we please Krishna. He becomes happier. Krishna, he's Atmarama, he's self-satisfied. But still, his happiness increases. And the more we surrender to Krishna, the more we develop our faith, the more we also become happy. And when we see someone come to Krishna consciousness because of a book that they received from us, oh, that increases our happiness, yeah, so much. So that's what this movement is about, increasing happiness, spiritual happiness, and decreasing this so-called material happiness. Prabhupada says in one purport that the greatest enemy of the living entity is the so-called happiness that he experiences in material life. The greatest enemy. Why? Because that entangles the living entity more in material life. He thinks, oh, it's okay. Material life is good, I'm having a good time. No, he's going further away from the actual happiness of spiritual life. So we want to pull people away from that. We want to deprogram people. People are programmed now, thinking that through sense gratification, they'll become satisfied. But no, it's not going to happen. It's never happened in the history of creation. It's never happened that anybody was fully satisfied through material life. And it's never happened that anybody that is fully surrendered to Krishna has not experienced complete happiness. It's never happened, and it'll never happen. So we have to have that faith. Because we don't completely have that faith, therefore we haven't fully surrendered to Krishna. But the more we hear from Krishna, the more we hear from the pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, this faith will increase. And eventually we'll have no faith in material life. Shraddha sabde vishvasakai shudhridhi nishtroya krishne bhakti pada sarvakama kirtamaya. That faith means that by executing devotional service, all perfection will be achieved. This is faith. We have to have that faith. That by engaging in devotional service, all my desires will be fulfilled. So I encourage you to try to help others advance in Krishna consciousness. Yourself, take this seriously and try to help others. This is Prabhupada's main mission. He says, he wrote one letter, he said, when I hear the results of book distribution, then it gives me life. So it gave great pleasure to Srila Prabhupada to hear the book distribution results. And here in Malaysia, there's been a big increase in book distribution. I was just yesterday, what was the city that we were at yesterday?
Seremban.
And there, they've already achieved, they've already distributed the amount of books that they distributed for the whole year of 2009. And it's just the beginning of February. So they're fired up. And we were just in JB, and they're super fired up. They were number 6 in Malaysia last year. Now they're fired up, they want to be number 3. So now we've got to get Teluk Intan in the transcendental competition. Get Teluk Intan number 2 or 3, you don't get up there yet. Prabhupada liked this transcendental competition. We can't give up competition, actually. Even in the spiritual world, the cowherd boys, they're running. I'm going to touch Krishna first. No, I'm going to touch Krishna first. They're competing. So Prabhupada said transcendental competition means, oh, my, excuse me, my godbrother, he's done such nice service for Krishna. Krishna, please, blessed me, said, I can also do such nice service. So this is the transcendental mood. Kuala Lumpur, they've done such nice service in distributing books. Please, Krishna, empower us to also distribute so many books so we can please you more than Kuala Lumpur. Like that. So this is transcendental competition, which is pleasing to Krishna. The Prabhupada actually tried to encourage this transcendental competition. He was on a morning walk one time, and there was a big competition between Jayatirtha and Tamal Krishna Maharaj. Jayatirtha had Los Angeles, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he had the Radha Damodar traveling Sankirtan. And Jayatirtha was there on the morning walk with Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And a bunch of devotees were there, sannyasis and GBCs. Prabhupada stopped the walk and he said, I think if Jayatirtha wins this competition, Tamal Krishna Maharaj will have a heart attack. So all the devotees started laughing. Prabhupada's encouraging the transcendental competition. So it's nice. And if you distribute books, then you'll find that it's not only is it pleasing to Krishna, that it's pleasing then to you. If you please Krishna, then you're pleased. If you dress Krishna, yeah, then you're dressing your own heart in a very beautiful way. So we have to try to somehow or another please Krishna. And this is the most pleasing thing, to encourage others in Krishna consciousness, to give people these books. It's very pleasing to Krishna. Because this is his business. His business is to increase consciousness of him. Just like there's so many businesses around the world, and sometimes you'll see Patel and Sons. Yeah, isn't there somebody like that? You know, the family and sons. It's like your father had a business. Did he do like that also?
No, sir.
No, okay. So, but that was a very common thing. So we also have this transcendental business. Krishna and sons and daughters. So it's his business. It's our family business. Distributing Prabhupada's books. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, if you have life, then you'll preach. So, on the other side, if you don't have life, then you don't preach. So, throughout the world now, we have this program called a monthly Sankirtan Festival. Many of you are in the working class, so it's hard to go out and distribute books daily or even on the weekend. You know, you're working throughout the week, and then on the weekend, you want to take it easy a little bit. So we're having this monthly Sankirtan festival. One day of the month, go out and distribute books. You know, it's not, you know, maybe go out 3 or 4 hours, you know, door to door. And you'll find that the whole temple atmosphere will increase. That your Krishna consciousness in your own heart will increase. And you'll just feel the reciprocation coming from Krishna. And this is actually what is most wonderful about book distribution. I've been distributing books now for 33 years. And this is what is very, very special about book distribution, is that you feel the reciprocation of Krishna every day. Every day. If you go out and you've chanted good rounds and you've read Prabhupada's books attentively, then you go out and you just feel the energy coming from that sadhana bhakti. And people, they reciprocate very nicely. They take books and give donations. And sometimes it's amazing how easy it is. Because sometimes people say it's difficult. You know, it is sometimes difficult. But it can be so easy if we're in good consciousness. Therefore, I always say 95% of our book distribution ability is in our consciousness. Right? But then also sometimes you might not have good consciousness. You know, some selfish thought comes or some material thoughts, and then immediately you feel that reciprocation. Krishna comes at you in a negative way. So you get sometimes you get a lot of no's. No, no, not interested. No, 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 no. Get a lot of no's. So that's Krishna saying no. Krishna saying no, no, no. Wrong consciousness. No, no. Change your consciousness. No, no. All right. Thank you, Krishna. Go back. Go back in the right consciousness. Right? So I encourage all of you to do something. And we're very fortunate because we've come in contact with this Krishna consciousness movement. So the best way to show your gratitude is to help others become fortunate. Receiving this mercy. It's very ecstatic. I remember I was on the Vaishnava youth tour in America. You probably heard they have these buses. The youth, they go traveling all over America, Rath Yatras. So I joined that for 1 month. It's quite an experience. So I was explaining to the students, or to the youth, about book distribution. I was going out with them. And I was encouraging them to distribute books. And there was one girl. She was born in the movement. She was about 22 years old. And I was teaching her how to distribute a book, Bhagavad Gita. And she distributed one. And I'm telling you, this girl was so ecstatic. She was just like floating on a cloud. She was running to all her friends. I distributed a Bhagavad Gita. I distributed a Bhagavad Gita. I distributed a Bhagavad Gita. She was so ecstatic. I was like, wow, cool. She was so happy. So book distribution is a very ecstatic activity. What can be nicer than giving Krishna to others? There was actually one Sankirtan devotee who was in charge of the Sankirtan newsletter in Los Angeles. He said that the book distributors are a little bit, they're kind of like in the mood of the gopis. Because the gopis, they got more pleasure in bringing other gopis to Krishna than they derived from going to Krishna. So this became a bit of a debate, a controversy in Los Angeles. Some of the people that weren't book distributors, they were thinking, oh, the book distributors are becoming sahajiyas. You know, they're thinking that they're like gopis now. So it became the talk of the town there. So that one big advantage of having Prabhupada on the planet is whenever there was some controversy or some debate, something devotees didn't understand, they would just write Prabhupada. And Prabhupada would clear it right up. So they wrote Prabhupada and asking Prabhupada, so what is the situation here? Is it true that the Sankirtan devotees are kind of in the mood of the gopis because they're bringing others to Krishna, like the gopis are bringing other gopis to Krishna? Prabhupada wrote back, and he said, yes, this is true. Jai Sri Gauri Dada. And he confirmed, this is a fact, that the book distributor is going out and trying to bring other souls to Krishna, and they're getting so much happiness from this. This is the mood of the gopis. So it gives great pleasure to the soul to help others in their Krishna consciousness. So I encourage you very much to do this, and it'll increase your faith. Book distribution has increased my faith in Krishna consciousness more than anything else because of this reciprocation. This is what increases our faith more than anything, is this reciprocation, right? Just like so many examples of great devotees, just like that amazing pastime of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he showed his form to all the devotees. There was that 24-hour period. What was it called? Anybody remember? There was that period when Lord Chaitanya, he called all his intimate devotees and he manifests his form. He manifests clearly that he is Krishna. And one devotee, he called over one devotee, Lord Chaitanya, he said, do you remember when the Muslims were after you? And you were running through the forest with your family, not knowing what to do, when a boatman came and took you. You got on the boat and you were able to escape. That was me. I was the boatman. And the devotee heard that and he just fell into ecstasy. Here, just because he felt that reciprocation. And Haridas Thakur, he was being beaten by the Muslims because he was a Muslim himself, became a devotee. They're doing that here in same program as here in Malaysia. If Muslim becomes a devotee, then they beat him, probably, right? Same program here. Right? We can't preach, we can't distribute books to the Muslims because it's so demoniac. So Lord Chaitanya said, these Muslims, they were beating you. They were beating you. And it gave so much pain to see that anybody could possibly harm my devotee. So I accepted those hits. And Lord Chaitanya showed his back. And the marks were there on his back of his being beaten. Lord, and then Haridas Thakur, he went into ecstasy. This reciprocation, Lord Chaitanya is so kind. He's reciprocating with his pure devotees. And it puts them into ecstasy. So this is what increases our faith more than anything else. When we please Krishna. So all these devotees in this pastime, they had pleased Krishna. So therefore he reciprocated with them. So Krishna says, there's no better way to please me than to preach this Krishna consciousness. So you'll get the mercy. You'll get this special reciprocation of Krishna by going out and distributing books. So what do you think? Sound like a good idea? Hari Bol. So next time we come to Teluk-Intan, hopefully we'll see Teluk-Intan in the top five in Malaysia. Huh? At least shoot for the top five. Huh? So thank you very much. Is there any question or comment? Whatever mercy I have is yours.
Past experience, yes. Today and yesterday, very pleasant. I was doing best book distribution. So I want to pass the mercy. Give me more books to distribute.
Jai. Hare Krishna.
The aim is always to distribute books, propose books.
Jai. Very nice. Very nice. You're very fortunate. You're very fortunate. We should develop a desire like this devotee to distribute books. Beg for the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda. We all want the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, right? Yes? Yeah, we all want Gauranga's mercy. But to get Gauranga's mercy, you have to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. But to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, you have to approach the Jagais and Madais. Right? There's a lot of Jagais and Madais out there. So whenever you approach them, you're getting the mercy of Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya. So I encourage you in this way. And I hope you have all success in your endeavors. Yes? Oh, yeah. Oh, yesterday I gave an example. There's a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam that says that the intelligence of the living entity, samsara kupe patitam visayar musitekshanam grisam kala hinatmanam konyas tratanam adhishvara, the intelligence of the living entity has been stolen away by the activities of sense gratification. And in that condition, the living entity has fallen into the well of repeated birth and death. And within that well, the living entity is seized by the deadly serpent of time, which is pushing the living entity into so much suffering. The threefold miseries. The miseries come from nature and our own body and other living entities being pushed into this suffering. So who but the Supreme Personality of Godhead can save one from such a situation? So the person's in this well, this deep well. So if someone's in a well and someone throws a rope down, that's the most merciful thing a person could do, right? Throw the rope down, pull them out, right? So these books are like ropes. You put a book in a person's hand, that's like a rope, pulling them out of the material world, right? Because if someone gets a book and they follow the instructions of the book, then they're out of here, back home, back to Godhead, right? So these are ropes. You don't see the string here. There's a string there, but it actually goes all the way to Vaikuntha. You don't see that, but it does. Brahmanda Brahmate Konya Bhagyavanji Guru Krishna Prasade Maya Bhaktilantavi. That the living entity is traveling all around the universe through different planets and different species of life. But if he's Bhagyavan, if he's very fortunate, then he comes in contact with the pure devotee of Krishna, and from him he develops this bhakti lata beej, this seed of devotional service. So as soon as we put a book in someone's hand, that begins the seed. The seed has been planted. Yeah. Now some people, it's going to get bigger and bigger, and you know, for some people maybe not, but it's planted, right? Prabhupada said they take a book, they just hold a book, next life they get a human form, at least, minimum. They start it. Right? They just read one line. It can change their life. So, there's another statement in the Bhagavatam. Nurdeham ajam sulabham sudolabham pavam sukapam guru karnaharam mayamako yasa nabashparitam pamang bhavadhi nataratsa et atmaha. That the living entities in this world who have the human form of life are very, very fortunate. Because the human form of life is actually very rare. You know there's 8,400,000 different species of life, and there's only 400,000 human forms. And in those 400,000, there's very few that have the intelligence to grasp the teachings of Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's very, very rare to get the human form of life. And there's special mercy about this human form of life, is that it's like a boat. The human form of life is like a boat that can help you cross over the ocean of material existence and go back to Krishna. And the captain on this boat is the spiritual master. He's given guidance on how to use this human form of life. Yeah? And the favorable winds are the shastras. Yeah. So you have the favorable winds, you have the boat, and you have the captain. Now if you just have a boat without a captain, and you're out there in the middle of the ocean, you got a problem. Right? Just have a boat, there's no wind, there's no engine, he's not going to make it. He's going to die, right? There's got to be a captain, there's got to be wind also. You have a good captain, you have good wind, then no problem. Right? So right now, people, they have the human form of life, many people on this planet, they have the human form of life. But they don't have a captain. When we give them a book, we're giving them the captain, Prabhupada. And the favorable winds, these instructions, these are also the favorable winds. So we allow people to become very fortunate by distributing these books. Prabhupada said that we cannot understand how important this book distribution is. Because it saves people from going to a very, very dark situation. Right now, people are on the way to hell because they don't know all the sinful activities. They don't know it's sinful. All the sinful activities they're doing, they have no idea. Because they're in Maya, they're in ignorance, they don't have any guidance. So we're saving people from going to hell when we distribute books. And we're giving them an opportunity, not only saving them from hell, we're giving them an opportunity to go back to Godhead. So that's why this is so important. This is why Prabhupada stressed it so much. In a class in LA, he said, please, distribute books, distribute books, distribute books. 3 times means very important. Very important. And there's books about it. There's a book called Distribute Books, Distribute Books, Distribute Books. There's a book called The Nectar of Book Distribution. And there's a couple other, there's whole books about the importance of book distribution. And it's not that anybody is too old, or, I mean, we have Kavi Chandra Swami, he's, I don't know, 65, he still goes out in book distribution. I'm 55 now, still going out somehow by Krishna's mercy, Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And I'll tell you another amazing thing that happened when I was on travel in Sankirtan, myself and another devotee. We were going back to the LA temple from traveling Sankirtan, and we wanted to stay over one night in one area. And the by Krishna's arrangement, Krishna's very tricky, you know? He can be tricky. So we wanted to get off on an exit and just go there and take rest. But the next exit that we got off, there was a university at that exit. And we only do universities when we go and travel in Sankirtan. So I thought, well, it looks like we might be doing a university tomorrow. So we were driving, and as we were driving, we drove right by the university. So we, you know, out of sight, out of mind, in sight, in mind. Right? So then we thought, all right, well, it looks like Krishna wants us to do some book distribution tomorrow. So we... we decided to distribute books the next day at the university. We weren't planning on doing that, as Krishna arranged that. So while we were there, we noticed there were some Christians distributing pamphlets and Bibles. And these Christians, they were all between 70 and 85. I was amazed. I went up to one of them and said, excuse me, how old are you? He said, I'm 85 years old. And I said, well, I'm impressed that you're 85 years old and you're still out spreading the message. He said, what better way to spend my life than giving the message of Jesus Christ? What better way to utilize the rest of my life? So, one of you can tell that gentleman that there's a rule that whenever the phone goes off in class, the next day he's got to go out and sell a Bhagavad Gita. That's a rule in my seminars. Okay? Yes? Excuse me?
I read from my books, or probably I heard from some other senior devotees, that the Vedas describe meat eaters as rascals.
Yeah.
So does it really mean that to become a vegetarian is a prerequisite to attain Krishna consciousness or to get liberation, spiritual liberation? Is it a must?
The question is that it's understood from our teachings that anybody that's eating meat is a rascal, actually it's sinful. So he's asking, is it a prerequisite to come into Krishna consciousness to be a vegetarian? No, there's many devotees that got books. Actually, just 8 months ago, I was distributing books and at a university, and he got a Bhagavad Gita from me. And he was very enthusiastic to get it, and he was completely into it. He liked everything I said. And he told me later, after he became a devotee, he's a devotee now, he said, from the day that I spoke to you, I stopped eating meat. In other words, up to the time that he walked up to the table, he was eating meat. And from the time he walked away from the table, he wasn't eating meat. And he'll never eat meat again. So it's not a prerequisite. Anybody, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, can take the Krishna consciousness.
So does it mean if I'm a meat eater, I'll never again take Krishna consciousness? Does it mean if I'm a meat eater, till my death, till the last gap of my death, I would never attain Krishna consciousness?
No, I just explained to you that there was a person that came to me, he was eating meat up to the moment that he spoke to me. He got a Bhagavad Gita, he stopped eating meat from the time he got the book.
But he stopped eating, what if in case, if I'm trying to be Krishna consciousness, and I'm eating meat eater? For example, like Arjuna
or... Oh, I see, you're saying if someone gets a book and is practicing, chanting even?
No, for example, another example, Arjuna, all of these Kshatriyas. Krishna's best friend Arjuna and Kshatriya, was he a vegetarian? All the Kshatriyas during this era, were they vegetarian? And what about this Sabri who gave darshan to Jagannath? He was a pickhead leader. So why does a pickhead kick picks for if he's a vegetarian?
I didn't understand the last part.
The pickhead chief who what we call Jagannath gave darshan for the first time to a big herd chief, Sabri.
Sabaras.
Yeah. So he was a big herd chief. Why did he keep so many pigs if he was a vegetarian?
Was he a vegetarian?
If he was a vegetarian, why would I keep so many pigs for? Or even chickens or goats?
It's a good question. I don't know.
But didn't that give darshan?
I don't know. That's a good question. I guess the only reason people have pigs is to eat them, right? There's no other use for pigs.
Yeah,
good question.
He got the question of Jagannath.
Yeah.
From him, he has asking the question, didn't
he? Yeah, very good question.
And what about Arjuna?
Now the Kshatriyas, now as far as, the Kshatriyas, generally they would eat meat. They were Kshatriyas, they were powerful. So I guess in some circumstances, I mean, he was a pure devotee. Now, I don't know, was he a vegetarian? I'm not sure for sure. But he was a Kshatriya. Generally, Kshatriyas, they would hunt. They were hunters. And they needed strength. So they would...
So when you tell we need strength, it's already suggesting that we have to eat meat.
Huh?
When you say when they need strength and they are supposed to be hunters and they need strength, so does it suggest that we should be meat eater to get strength?
It's well, Kshatriyas need strength and vegetarians generally aren't very strong. Yeah. So anyway, I think this is something that we should investigate. That's a very good question.
Kindly.
I personally, I'm to be honest with you, usually I can answer questions, but I can't answer this. We'll have to investigate on this. Also, another thing is, I have a newsletter. It's a book distribution newsletter that I send out through email. And if any of you would like to join this or receive this newsletter, give me your email. I'm leaving tomorrow morning. I think, when are we leaving? What time are we leaving?
Maybe after the darshan.
After early, I think we're leaving early. So I'll be here tonight. I'll be mingling. Maybe we could, if anybody could write it, get a piece of paper and start it off. Maybe you can put it somewhere. You could write your email if you want some inspiration on book distribution. Yeah, you might as well put, there we go, there's another one. Bhagavad Gita tomorrow. Okay? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.